Hey, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crap. For some reason, I was waiting for you to do it, but it's my turn. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What...
I'm not voluntarily introducing the McBees if I don't have to.
Sorry. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. How's it going today, Ben?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome, everybody, to the show. It's McBee Dynasty Day. I know we're all excited over here. If you want this on video, you can find that at our Patreon day of. We release videos for all of our episodes. You can get them for free a week later on YouTube. Just search Watch What Crappens on YouTube and you'll find us. Also on Patreon, you get access to our free weekly newsletter, which is like a comedy recap of all these shows that I write. And you also get bonus episodes. This week's was really fun. It was a personal story. You know, we were just talking about our personal lives in this one. It was super fun. You also get access to our Discord server where you talk to each other and talk shit about all of these shows. What else is on there, Ben? Oh, ad-free listening, which is a big one.
Big.
So that's all available at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And today is the McBee Dynasty. Ooh, it's season 3. Episode 6. It's called First Impressions and Final Farewells. Is it over? Why is it called Final Farewells?
I think someone went to jail for 2 years. You know, it's sad. I mean, you know, as Cole McBee mentioned, he's going away. Blair's only one. He's going to jail. When he comes back, Blair's going to be 3 years old. Blair won't even know who he is. I can't. It's like, oh no, the 3-year-old may not have a very strong awareness of their grandfather. I'm like, people go away for like 30 years, and he's like, oh yeah, Blair's gonna go from being 1 to 3. Oh no, Jesus.
Not for Christ's sake. Let me guarantee you this, Blair ain't gonna give a fuck either way, at 1 or 3. Okay, Blair does not care.
Blair. Do you understand? Blair does not care.
She's got enough going on. Her mom smells like dead meat and her dad beats up hills. Okay.
Yeah.
She's got enough going on in her
life. Blair's doomed in this world. Anyway, McBee Dynasty. So yeah, final farewells. Something I wish I could sometimes say about this show. So 9 days until Steve Sr. reports to prison, the countdown clock continues on. One thing I really also don't like about this show is that it feels cold. It always feels cold in this show. It feels like they're always in these big drafty houses. It feels like there's like where I feel like every house they're in is like 65 degrees. And I just I'm like, I get cold sitting there watching them. And I know that they're the type of people like, well, just put on a sweater. It's unpleasant.
Well, it's cold weather. And they do live in these giant barn homes that they've built for $5, but are very big and have cement floors. I don't think about how cold it is. I think about the electricity bills. Like, are electricities in McPoopy, wherever they live, is McBooger? Where do they live?
Gallatin.
I always forget the name something. Of it. Yes, Gallatin.
Gallivan.
So the electricity must be really cheap in Gallatin because they're just these huge open barns. How do you keep that air conditioned and heated?
Yeah. Oh.
That's what the show brings to us, you guys. Okay.
I know.
We worry about air conditioning, heating, and temperatures in their house more than we worry about Blair.
Yeah. Well, if one can only hope that they muster up enough money to pay their bills for their air conditioning and heating. So we start off in a very exciting way because we're at Steve Sr.'s house and Masha is with her prized chickens. And she's very worried because she has a raccoon sleeping amongst the chickens. So naturally, Steve Jr. arrives. Now, if I hear there's a raccoon just sleeping with the chickens in broad daylight, I'm like, that's rabies right there. But this idiot is like, whatever, I'll go in and grab it. Luckily, it was not a raccoon. It was just a possum doing what I generally do during the show. Napping.
Play dead.
Wish it would all go away.
If I'm dead, none of this is really happening.
I'll just close my eyes and pretend that this is just a terrible, terrible thing and it's all going to pass and I'll be safe soon enough.
please tell me these chickens aren't dead. I cannot handle another Masha breakdown over dead chickens. And then we see a flashback to last year, Masha fighting with Galina. Why you keep coming back here? You killed my chickens and you messed up my car. It's like, I did not kill your chickens. Come on. How can you not love this show? I mean, there's a whole plot line of crazy Russian ladies fighting each other over some disgusting man and one taking revenge by kidnapping chickens. On Where paper, else are you going to get that?
On paper, maybe Russia. Maybe Russia itself. On paper, sounds great. Unfortunately for me, it just doesn't quite get there. But So the chicken, there's a possum there. So Steven picks up the possum and he's like, yeah, it's not a raccoon. You were the most pessimistic person about raccoons. You probably don't even like Timothy.
It's pretty funny that Masha is dressed in like overalls or something. She's dressed in like, I am farmer. Look at me taking care of farm because I am head farm lady now. And she doesn't know the difference between a raccoon and a possum.
Like, girl, I know.
Just dump the overalls, Masha. Nobody's buying it, okay? So she's like, is it like dead or a what? And he's like, no, it's not dead. It's plain dead. Haven't you ever heard the term playing possum? She's like, oh, no.
No, we only know about playing gulag. So, by the way, did you know that if you type in...
We only know play pierogi. This is what we play.
Have you, on your iPhone, did you see what happens when you type Jimothy in? If you go onto like Safari and you type Jim, if you like look up Jimothy, see what happens. This is for everyone who's listening as well, in case you did not know about this. See what happens.
Jimothy.
Right.
Do I press enter?
Yeah, press enter. See what happens.
Okay. It's Big Ed. A viral raccoon Jimothy. Oh my gosh, a little Jimothy ran across the screen.
Press the paw.
Okay, I'm pressing the paw. Hey, there he goes again. Long leg, tiny body Jimothy.
There he goes again. I'm going to do it again. Now, if you do this for 60 minutes straight, then what happens is that you have the knowledge of knowing that you watch something 10 times more entertaining than the McGee Dynasty by just watching an animated raccoon scurrying left and right across your iPhone.
Man, that Jimothy's really become
I love Jimothy. Star. I love Jimothy. Well, I love him.
Yeah, so does the world, apparently, because it's even on Safari.
You know, I know the backlash is going to start to begin. I'm sick of Jimothy. Well, guess what? I'm not. I'm very pro-Jimothy. Very pro-Jimothy. Anyway, so
Bravo. I mean, usually you only get that famous when somebody cheats on you or something.
Well,
Jimothy did it by just having long legs and a tiny body. So congrats, Jimothy. Jimothy is like the new co-host of Love Island Before Sun Ever Set.
I know. He's going to replace Teffy. It'll be Sierra and Jimothy interviewing contestants. You know, actually,
he's going to get his own spinoff Before the Sun. And it's just where Jimothy is going to come walk around with really long legs and predict what maybe will happen someday on Love Island.
He's going to be the host of the new, what are they? Are they? They're not marsupials, whatever they are. But the point is that Jimothy is great. Back to Masha. So Masha, there's a possum there, and Steven's removed it. And she's like, so how have you guys been doing? Every time I think about it, my heart just drops. Oh, no. Disgusting older man with money who I have to play possum with just to have sex with is going to jail, and I am left with his money. Oh, my heart just drops.
Oh, and no. So then we go, of course, McBee, Steven Jr. is like, well, this is the hardest time that this farm has ever gone through. I don't know if this farm is going to be able to take it. That is going to print every week. It's like, this is the hardest time the farm has ever gone through. Oh, this poor farm. So now we go over to Christy's house. Cole comes over and she's got Summer. And
She doesn't just have Summer. She has a Stanley Cup the size of a load-bearing column. Like that column that like was crushed in New York City 2 weeks ago. Like she could have just put this mug in there and supported the entire structure. She's like, well, if I can't have an oversized iced latte, then I will have some other drink that will be as tall as my entire torso.
Christy McBee is a lot of things. One thing she is not is dehydrated.
No, she's always ready to go.
Yeah.
She's got that beverage ready.
So they talk about how they're going to go take daddy to jail. And they're just, how can this farm ever get past it? Oh, my gosh. And she's just beside herself. Christy, the man who cheated on you, fucked you over, fucked your whole family over, is going to prison. Why are you pretending you're crying? Get the fuck out of here, Christy.
I know, Christy.
Feel like the rest of us would be cheering. Like, finally, how can we make this longer?
I know, like, sure, like, get out of there. Like, why are you, like, she's crying because of her boys. Because she's sad that her boy's daddy's going to jail and hurts her boys. Fuck those boys, okay? They're adults. They'll be fine. They're not going to cry for you or anyone else going through a tough time. So move on. Go back to your successful company doing whatever it is that you do, because you should not be sitting here, you know, in House of Blair crying.
Also, that dad fucked all of them over because them. It's reported that allegedly Cole and Jesse could be going the same route because of things that he put in their name, you know, like shady things that he put in their name, etc. So, and then we see what he does in this episode, which we'll get to. So, I don't know. I think Christy's crying because this is the boy's source of income. And she's like, now I have to support all of these kids and all of these babies. Oh, no. No.
Yeah, maybe there's that. So she's like, Steve has away in a week and we won't be able to just call him or text him or, you know, it's like definitely going to be different. And it's like, oh, it's a lot on me.
Hold on. Let me see what date he goes. Let me look on this calendar. Whoa, it's Masha's vagina. Okay. Okay. Who put this up here?
I made the put up calendar on your house. Hope you don't mind, Christy.
Well, from what I've been reading up on, I think you can email him, but I don't think it's a quick response. Because, like, no, I mean, I think he's probably checking it once a day or that, and, like, maybe a couple of times a week. And I did tell you, you know, I've been telling him what you need. When you need something, we'll figure it out. Because we're the new Steve for now while he's gone.
Like, I'm sure that's really reassuring to him.
Yeah, Cole's like, we're the new Steve now, so I just pulled over and slept with a random stranger just to get in the mood of it.
Cole's like backing up a combine into the general store of the town, like, we're this new Steve now. It's like, great. There's a tractor wheel goes rolling down Main Street.
Could at least one of the Steves learn how to drive one of these tractors? While you're pretending on TV, please just one of you. Please. Even learn how to open the door of the tractor.
Doors. I would love a whole season of the McBee Dynasty where they just understand the concept of doors.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't. It's pretty weird thinking about selling McBee headquarters and stuff. Like, I don't even know how this family's gonna survive this one. So then
the amount of eulogizing over this generic corporate office that they built, it's like, where but it's the HQ. I mean, when we put in those sockets, electrical sockets there, we thought these will be our sockets forever. It's like, I cannot be moved to care about your stupid corporate headquarters, farm headquarters being sold off.
Get a laptop. I will say, though, this is the farm headquarters is the whole thing. I mean, it's multiple buildings. It's the grain silo. It's like you look down on it. It's like, here's the entire McBee farm. They're like, well, we're just selling that, but we'll have the rest. What are you going to farm from home? I don't understand how this all works. Like,
they had an HQ before this. They'll get an HQ after it. It's fine. It's downsizing. It happens to everyone. They can get over it. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's like, if it's one thing, if it's like, oh, we have to sell mom's house, I'll be like, oh, that really sucks. But it's just like, remember here, our HQ that had a dining room in it? I don't know. I can't. There's something about this HQ that I just cannot get behind in terms of feeling emotionally invested in it. I'm like, good riddance.
But there is a mini fridge in there, and that's like a fridge, but it's mini. It's small.
It's a mini fridge. We got one of those things. It's like not just like a sparklets cooler, but we got one of those things where it's like a bunch of those ice cream cones, but they're made of paper, but you put your water in it. We got something that holds those. We have to say goodbye to that.
Yeah. So then we go over to Steve Sr.'s house and with Steve and Masha. And he's like, have you talked about my father about the future? What's it going to look like for you guys? I haven't seen him or talked to him. Come on. What are you thinking? She's like, well, you know, I will be here for him, but I know it is hard. When you think about it, he will go away soon. I've been in denial. I don't know what to do. What will this farm do without Steve Sr.? It is surreal. It is like just talking about it. Look at me. I'm crying.
You're not crying.
I am.
No, you're not.
I'm literally pierogi.
She literally has no emotions. She's smiling practically. So Christy's saying,
man, these past couple of weeks just been really rough.
Cole's like, yeah.
She's like, I mean, leading up to it, you know. She's like,
yeah, it has been. And even though we got 6 weeks, that just like went by just like that. And you know, like, wow, it's here.
Yeah, it's hard. And I was trying to put up Christmas decorations. I'm going to cry because I wanted to put baby Jesus up on the HQ door. And I remembered HQ door doesn't exist anymore for us. Where does baby Jesus go?
Baby Jesus was repossessed. I can't even do it.
Christy crying about putting up Christmas decorations when she's just infested everybody's house with gigantic plaster Home Goods pumpkins for the other holidays.
We just got the leaves.
What are you going to do without headquarters to store all the shit you buy for the holidays? I mean, that's massive. I have a good friend. One of my mom's best friends is probably the sweetest person I've ever met in my life. And she's obsessed with holidays. And she has a whole unit that she takes this shit from. And she has like movers come to the house and move in Christmas, move Christmas out, move in whatever the next Easter or whatever. She's like moving in and it's incredible. Like every room is like years and years. You see every year of Home Goods shit in this house. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, fun fact, I don't know if you know this, but every year for Christmas, Christy puts Christmas lights on her Stanley Cup and gathers the kids around it and they exchange gifts.
Stanley Cup. I don't know why it shocks me, but you know, it's worth the pain.
Hey, Cole, can you bring over that ladder? I want to put this angel on top of the Stanley Cup.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Then we go to Cole and Casey's house, and it's girls' night, or it's girls' day. The girls are hanging out after Pilates or whatever. So it's Teague and Allie. I don't know. I think this is with all the girls.
Yeah.
So Tegan's like, okay, cheers to girls' night and Pilates. And Ellie's like, I don't do Pilates, but I mean, I guess I can still cheers to Pilates.
They have nothing happening in their lives that they're cheersing to Pilates. And she's like, Allie's like, you know, I don't get a whole lot of girls' nights anymore because like my girls' nights are spent with Summer and I'm excited just like to hang out with the girls. And like Jesse's been at the farm the last few days, so I've been kind of on my own. So Tegan's like, so, hey girls, Pilates, am I right? So they sold the office. Where do you guys have where are you going to have the tallow business, Casey? Everyone wants to know, where's that tallow at? And she's like,
in my house.
Like, she goes, oh, cool. Hey, I saw it in the fridge.
It's in my fridge right now.
Really? I thought this was like a big $5 million business. You're just keeping the tallow. I really want to buy this tallow that Casey's just like,
I know,
keeping in her fridge as she hand makes it and adds a little vanilla smell to it.
She just keeps the jars open so it just absorbs the smell of the refrigerator.
She's like, well, we had some salmon last night, so we put some tallow in there for the salmon line.
So Casey's like,
we're selling tallow soda now. It's going to be a $5 million business. Unfortunately, Steven didn't realize it was going to blow up so big. So now he wants a percentage and then he wants to give 20% of Allie for marketing. And they're like, what? 20%? And she's like, yeah, but I created it. I mean, granted, using all of the dead cows from the McBee farm and the McBee farm to make it. And the vanilla from Christie's cabinet. But still.
You know,
I'm actually on Casey's side here.
But. Yeah. No, she created it. She should not be giving 20% away to some twit. So Casey's like, yes. She's like,
he really puts me in an awkward position. But He's not going to give her 20% of my business. Who was the one who came up with Sunny D flavor? Me. That's when I put the tallow and the Sunny D in the fridge together and they just absorb each other's smells. So she says, you know, he talked about this with Calla and it didn't happen. But like now he's got a girlfriend and now all of a sudden he wants to take my business and hand it off to her. Tegan's like, well, it seems like history is repeating itself, like Steve giving Galena part of the business, and now Steven's wanting to give Allie part of your business. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, that's how the guys keep you in this business, or in this show. They say that you have a percentage of something, so you're always kind of tied to them. Mm. I think it's probably Steve Jr. wasn't as much of a control thing of Galena as much as it was like, I'm not marrying you, so here's a percentage of this business. But Galena is at, we see Galena actually going there working. Like today, she's like, look at me. I'm in businesswoman attire. You cannot say anything to me. I have glasses.
How could you even say that? Galena is busy traveling this entire world trying to be famous and a real housewife. Look, there she is hanging out with Jill's Aaron. And here, there she is hanging out with Alexis Bellino. Look, and there she is. She's just at the roadside taking a picture with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cutout. But whatever. She still thinks she's one of them.
I love a turtle. So Casey's like, I want to build a business how I want to build it too, though. And by the way, Allie, let's change the subject to you now. Have you talked to Jesse about 10 days of intimacy? Because I do it with Cole. It really brings us closer together. Oh, my God. I don't want to hear about 10 days of intimacy with Cole. I need 10 days of bus tickets the fuck out of here. That's too much.
I think I would rather watch two burlap sacks roll around on each other than these two have 10 days of intimacy. So Allie is like, he's like, yeah, he thought it was a joke. And I was like, no, it's real. So then he went to the farm and Casey's like, oh, so did you feel like he was avoiding you? No, Casey. What? He was definitely trying to be present by driving off 3 hours away to go to a farm and get trapped inside a combine.
Well, it's kind of hard to know how he stands because he sure doesn't say a lot. He just kind of stands there and makes a real weird smile with his eyes poking this way and that way, kind of like I'm doing right now.
I mean, this couple does belong together for that awkward pretend smile while their eyes are darting every which way.
Yeah. You know? They do have that. They do have shared awkwardness.
That can bring people together.
So then Casey like lies on her side. She's like, what if you lie in the bed like this, all sexy like, this is what I do. Deacon's like, yeah, that's like a mating call. Allie's like, is that what you do? Casey's like, no, I basically just leave a trail of Twizzlers, but I think I may try this. This seems fun.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me, that laying on my side. That's, I think, the worst angle for me. I'm like, oh, geez. Okay, well, I thought this will be better laying down. Okay, but don't look at me from that angle. Look at me from above. Go to the edge. Go to the end of the bed. Stand on the other side of the bed. Okay. Crane your head down just a little. Okay, that's it. Don't look at this part. You're getting close.
So eight days until Steve Sr. reports to prison. Bloop.
And now we go to the McBee's coffee and car wash, which is funny because if you look at coffee and car wash, it looks like it says coffin car wash. So just send your coffins right in here. So Steven walks into the car wash office where Galena is.
He's like, now a decent time for you, Galena.
She's like, yeah, sure. So Steven says,
for the past year, maybe last 2 years even, it felt like Galena's been completely checked out of anything business. She's been traveling the country, trying to be a celebrity, and this used to be the most important person at our entire country, at our entire company, and maybe even our country too.
So flashback. So Steven is like,
he's like, Galena's lack of focus affects the business, and we cannot have that, especially right now. Now, excuse me, I'm going to Texas.
Excuse me while I make plane reservations to leave for an entire week trying to impress Allie's family in Texas. Okay. This will be an entire scene of me berating the only person who actually works at this company while I go off to town.
Okay, a couple things. Galena is why I watch this show. I mean, I would watch Galena if she was like literally on any show. I would watch it. I would watch Galena. Law and Order, Galena, I'm in. But saying like we really need her, this company is a failure. It's a huge failure. Every single season, you've lost bigger and bigger chunks of this company. So I'm not really sure how much credit I would give Galena as far as, or any of them as far as running a business. The second, you big fucking hypocrite. Like, he literally sits there and yells at her. She's like, oh, really? So you boys are saying I do nothing? Do you know everything I have to do for this business? Like, all the paperwork I have to put through when you guys are losing part of business all the time? And they're like, yes, that is what we were saying. You do not spend enough time at this business. I love Austin. Goodbye. I'm good. Hypocrite. Fuck.
Yeah, seriously. Well, we are here. Sorry, my broom just completely flatlined for a moment there.
Well, now you know what it's like to be a McBee boy.
I was listening to the Galena thing, and I was looking at the notes, and then suddenly my brain just said, you need a moment.
Yeah. So just keep scrolling way down. The point is, so Jesse's like, listen, this is like a real reality. Our bankers and our lenders are like, they're seeing it, whether it's you, that, like they have Instagram and they're seeing you go to housewives party. And what are they thinking about the car wash? Well, first of all, you're getting more publicity with someone being there. And second of all, you guys have said multiple times that it's just on the weekends. So she's allowed to go somewhere on the weekends. Third of all, fuck off, you guys. Steven's such a hypocrite. He's leaving town right now. Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, well, also this whole thing of like, oh, she thinks she's a hat, so she just wants to go be famous, be the house. What are you doing, Steven? We said this last week. You've been, this is like your, what, second or third reality show? Okay, and if you think that, like, I don't pay attention to Steven McBee's Instagram or his life or anything. I don't know what goes on over there, but are you telling me that Stephen McBee is not making the rounds, going hanging out with, you know, whatever celebrities he wants to hang out with? I guarantee he is doing the same exact thing.
He seems on this show to just show up for filming because the boards are always complaining that he doesn't really do anything there. He doesn't know how to do anything there. Everybody else starts these businesses, then Steve wants to come in and take credit for everything. You're right. It's like his second reality show. Then he's only dating like the perfect TV, perfect blonde with a huge following on Instagram, which would be good for TV. He dates her for like 1 week and then gets her cast with the contract and everything on his TV. I mean, this, no one does things more for TV than you. You fucking hypocrite, this guy. This guy is the worst. So Galena stands up for herself and she's like, what I gather is you guys think I'm not doing my job? Just so we're fucking clear. And they just stare at her like, yeah. And she says, okay, well, on this note, you can please get the fuck out of this office.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You're going to kick us out of the office that we done own? Yeah. And she just nods. She's like,
I'm
in a sports coat and glasses. You will listen to me.
This entire tense conversation's happening. Well, meanwhile, like some like Toyota Celica is being like washed down below them. And they're like, I can't hear you over the sound of the whipping brushes. So
turn off your windshield wiper. No, turn them off. Turn the auto off. It's gonna, hey, I broke my windshield wiper. I told you that. How are you supposed to turn them off? It's automatic.
So Galena's like, yes. He's like, she's like, why don't you step into what I do here every day? Do you think it's easy to order more soap for car wash? It's not. Please be my guest. But this conversation's over.
Yeah. So they do leave. And Cole's like, well, I mean, maybe I don't know what she does or nothing, but I'll tell you this much. I could figure it the fuck out. Okay, if you don't even know what she does, why are you in this meeting? You guys are such fucking posers. Get out.
Someone just tell Cole that in order to be to run a car wash, you have to first understand what it's like to be a car in a car wash and that he has to run through it while it's operating. I just want to see him as the rags whip around his face like, ow, ow, ow.
Well, it would be nice to see Cole get a bath.
Yeah, it would be. It really would be. So I love then, Cole thinking he
can figure the boys out the car are talking about like, isn't it crazy? We used to just solve things with Dad, but now we don't have Dad. What is this farm going to do? So then it's 7 days until Steve Sr. reports to prison.
The urgency. Bloop. Yeah. So we're at Christy's house, and Allie and Steven arrive, and Allie's like, oh my gosh, hello. You know what? This blue makes your eye pop so much. You know what? I could probably sell 4 million tops. 4 million duplicates of this top on my Instagram. I'm just that good at marketing. Wow. And Christy's like, oh, thank
you. Christy, I want 20% of your top. Okay. We're going to do great things here. I'm an influencer. Wow. Somebody's mom. Oh my God. You look amazing. Are those new jeans?
She just comes off as so fake.
Fake.
And that's on this show. It's all very fake. But dang, Allie.
So Steven's like,
one of the things that I admire so much about Allie, aside from the fact that she lets me journal from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. and also from 10 p.m. to midnight, because guess what? You have new things to journal about in between midnight and 4 a.m. But one of the things I love about her is that she's just like, she doesn't need a heads up. She's just like, she's the one encouraging me. She's like, hey, stop by your mom's. Let's say hi. In my last relationship with that bitch, I felt like I had to give a month-long notice if we were to see my mom for 5 minutes.
Also, she's blonde.
I love that about her.
They're talking about plans for Thanksgiving, and he's like, yeah, mom, looks like I'm going down to Texas. She's like, oh, good, good. Well, one thing that I am really happy about is my son leaving me on Thanksgiving to go to some girl's house, and it's like our first Thanksgiving without your father, and I really cared. I was just going to have Christmas delivered, but it's all her inner thoughts.
Yeah.
She just gives this like plastic smile. She's like, mm-hmm, good, good, honey.
I do think it's inappropriate that he's going down to Texas on the last Thanksgiving that we're all together, but I'm not allowed to say anything to a man. So therefore, I'll just sit here and smile and be like, good, good. I'm so happy for you. I mean, listen, please don't confuse this as me actually caring about this family situation, but literally your dad is going off to prison in a week and you are going to spend that last Thanksgiving at Allie's house. You're not going to spend it with your dad. And then you're going to complain and not understand why you weren't chosen to be interim president of this failing operation. Like, give me a break. I mean, this is actually really shitty. Don't make me stand up for Steve McBee Sr. on this, but like, this is a stupid dick move on Steve Jr.'s part.
Yeah, pretty much. So he's like, well, Allie has put up with some pretty high standards that I need to meet to impress her family.
Allie's put up some pretty high standards, okay? I need to impress her family, especially her dad. And she's told me over and over, shake his hand, look him in the eyes, have good conversation. He's a serious guy. So I'm a little nervous going into this trip. Can't wait to alpha the fuck out of this old bastard.
I know. So Allie's like, yeah, he's really unique. I mean, he's so cool. My dad is like so cool. Like, he's like the best. I mean, for me, I have like a lot of internal pressure going home and bringing Steven home because like I won't take the next step with someone unless I know that my family is 100% on board. Why are you taking a next step of that? Like, you guys just started dating like 3 weeks ago. Like, give it a rest. You guys can spend Thanksgiving separately.
Yeah.
It's also weird that she's not saying, why aren't you spending this with your dad?
Yeah, this whole thing. I don't know. I think in Steven's mind, it's like, well, everybody else, Thanksgiving, they're all going to have their babies, their partners. I don't even have a baby. I need to go over there and secure this baby. I'm going to do it. Secure blonde woman. I hope this whole family's blonde. Everybody better be 5'8" and blonde, or I'm not going to have it. I'll tell you that much.
They better let me journal in the morning, and they better be willing to figure out memberships in the afternoon.
We really need to have some deep memberships.
What was the thing last week?
Last week he said that like an ideal, he gave like, this is like what a perfect day would be like with his like dream woman. And he gave a very specific timeline. And one thing was like from 3 to 3:30, we're going to recruit memberships, which didn't even make sense.
Talent memberships. Okay. Now listen here. Priority one, making sure your family's comfortable with me. I mean, she has sacrificed so much. She's canceled every single event trip she had planned to come up here and support us. I mean, look at all the trips she had. She is an influencer. She probably had trips to go from here to there to Timbuktu, and she didn't do it just so she could see Cole kind of cross his eyes and look like a hole in a tree while he talked about how hard it was opening tractor doors. Okay? She gave up everything for us.
So many event trips.
What does that mean, an event trip? So, so Christy's like, I think Steven needs to get away. I'm excited for her family to meet him. I guess I mean, I guess maybe it would be like, you can make an argument that Steven Jr., this is too hard for him, and it's too hard for him to see his dad, and it's like before he goes off to, I don't know, it's all bullshit.
Nah.
So we're back at Christmas. No, we're not giving him anything. He's like,
you know, it's not a great time for the McBee reputation. The name kind of carries a little bit of a black cloud with us.
And she goes, it does. I mean, but we'll get through it. It always does. And you said your parents trust you.
And Christy's like, I was very close to my dad, and Allie is very close with her dad, and she wants her dad to see what she sees. And I understand that because I want so badly for my dad to like Steve. I think this is Allie saying this, not Christy.
No, it's Christy. Christy's like, Christy's saying, I get it.
Because she wanted her. I was close
with my dad too, and I wanted my dad to like Steve. And, well, that dream died, but, you know, maybe it'll work out for Steve Jr. This is going to be great for him.
We can only just hope that all the men on this show are happy and approving of everything the women are doing. You know, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah. So Steven's saying like, wow, you know, like I just want her dad, you know, I got to start telling you the days before I'm like, okay, now her dad would at least not smack me in the face if I'm like, hey, I want to marry your daughter. Maybe I shouldn't do that after the first day. Second day, dessert? Should I wait till dessert? I'm taking your daughter's hand in marriage. You better accept it, you poor motherfucker.
Allie is like, do you think that you would say that on this trip? He's like,
I'm not pulling any time frames on anything, okay?
And she's like, but you said it. I mean, I was just like, wait a minute, what? Huh? She's like, I mean, there's no rush. And I really hope that he wouldn't do like something like that, like ask me about marriage without talking to me first. Lady, you're in the world of the McBees. They don't talk to the women first about their choices. Good luck.
He's literally talked to you about nothing but marrying you. Since we've seen you guys on this season, he's talked about it every single day, every 5 fucking seconds with you. And she gave him already a detailed description of what she wants for her ring. He's like,
okay, I know this about her ring. It needs to be 5.5 centimeters square, emerald here.
He goes like through the whole list. Like, well, I hope he would certainly talk to me about marriage. Oh, okay.
Yes, okay. That's true. When she already has given all the details of everything. So now we're at Cole and Casey's house, and Allie is driving, and Casey's in the passenger seat. Well, and Cole, this was so funny. They're in this, like, I don't know, like a Chevy Yukon or something, one of these enormous SUVs. And so Allie is driving, Casey's in the passenger seat.
Chevy Yukon or something.
No, but you know, it's like this enormous SUV. And Cole is in like the way, 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 way back. I was like, why are you sitting so far away? He was like in the 10th row of this car. He's like, hey, I'm back here. I'm Cole. Like, what are you doing back there? You can take a seat a little closer to the front.
Like, what is that noise back there? Cole, are you trying to figure out how to put on a seatbelt?
He's like, yeah, I'm not really sure how this works back here, but okay, hold on a second. Let me just try another hole.
I'm having 10 days of intimacy with this seatbelt. Hold on, let me just keep trying holes until one of them's up. There we go. Nailed it.
I just want to see what it feels like to be some Costco groceries coming back from the store. Wow, it's really cool back here. They really are having seatbelt issues. It is something that comes up. And so Allie's like, oh, Cole, how was your day? He's like, it was good. It was pretty interesting. I learned a lot. Like what? Well, guess where Steven's going this Saturday? Ace Hardware? No, guess again. That place that's next to Ace Hardware? You mean the 7-Eleven? Yeah. No, guess again.
The other place next to the Ace Hardware? That's a hair transplant place. Yes, he is going there, but that's going to be after. He's going to go betray mama and go hang out with Allie's family in Texas over Thanksgiving for a whole week. And they're like, what?
What? That's crazy. I mean, I want him to go down there and meet her family, and that's like definitely next step for him. But like being the last week that we get to see dad, I don't know. And Casey's like, yeah, I wouldn't have expected nothing different. Hey, Casey, why are you reclining that way in the chair? 10 days of intimacy.
Why are you laying on your side like that? We're supposed to be driving.
So then, let's see. We find out that Jake is having a birthday.
Jake is as close to us as anybody. He's like the fifth McBee. He were any closer to us, he'd be under investigation for some.
I know.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And so they get to this brewery, and Allie is not there because she's sick as a dog. So congrats, everyone. You're all getting Allie's germs from Steven. And they're like, man, that's too bad. So they all sing happy birthday to Jake. And Steven's like,
so what you up to, birthday boy? You gonna hit it hard tonight? You gonna get drunk? You gonna do something crazy? You wanna have sex?
And Jake is like, no, I think I'm having, I think the hitting it hard days are well behind me. I don't hit things hard. I'm Jake. And they
Cole's like, well, you probably need to start thinking about when you're gonna get on the knee, because that's what you gotta do. You gotta propose to somebody.
Seems like if you don't do it, I'm gonna beat you to it. How bad would that look if I beat you to it? Tegan may end up and leave you in the night if I beat you down the aisle, which I just might after Allie's dad falls in love with me and tells me I'm the best thing that ever happened. All he wanted was a strapping 6'4" boy that's looking for a 5'8" girl who's blonde and journals.
Speaking of beating, you wanna beat off later tonight? You know, he says beat a lot. I'm like, you know, with someone with anger issues, you really shouldn't use that word so much. So Jake is, it's Jake's birthday and everything. And Jesse's saying, with everything going on, Steven going down to Texas to meet her family, like he's only 31, but he feels like he's 50 or 60 years old and feels like he's running out of time. He's definitely pushed. Why don't any of these brothers say anything to Steven? Be like, yo, Don't go down to Thanksgiving with Allie. You need to be here with us, with the family. Like, no one says anything.
Yeah. So the girls are all sitting like at a little couch or something, doing what you do in bars, you know, mixing formula for your baby. And Casey's like, I'm real nervous to talk to Steven because I don't want Allie to get 20% of nothing. But then I have to talk to Steven about it and I'm scared. They're like, just go talk to him. So then back to the boys, he's like, well, yeah, I was looking at rings. She showed me one and she's like, it's not that bad. It's like 55. And they're like, wait, 5,500? 55,000, you idiots.
Great.
I mean, jeez.
Love it. Love to see that people are being put out of work on your farm. HQ's closing, but you're going to spend $55,000 on a ring for this person you've known for 45 days. So Steven's like,
I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm going to be spending my life savings and putting $25,000 on a ring.
And Steven says,
Allie's a 5-ring size. Wait, hold on. Here it is. Yellow gold color, 2 stones on the side with the center stone, emerald, no halo, no cushion. And I have no idea what any of that really means, but I've got it in my notes.
I'll tell you this much. He better not surprise me with an engagement proposal.
Yeah. So Jake's like, whoa, do I look like I've seen a ghost?
Yeah, you look like you've seen a ghost.
He's like, pretty much did. The ghost of all of your money.
Yeah, seriously.
Spent on a ring.
You're ghost too poor for this.
Yeah, they have to start really leaning into Jake as like a member of the family. So that way Jake doesn't turn around and sue them when he realizes that like he's like owed like probably thousands of dollars from this failing company. So Casey, right? Like, it's funny how they really start amping up. I mean, Jake has been there the past, you know, for a while, but like, they're really going to lean into the family thing. Like, hey, Jake, we won't be able to pay you this week, but you know how it is, but you're like family to us. So, you know, we'll make it good. Anyway, I'm going to pay $55,000 for this ring.
Yeah. One thing this
family does not do is fuck each other over. Whoops, Cole, Jesse, sorry. Your properties are listed under shady deals that dad has done. You're probably going to lose everything. Okay, never mind. Let's talk about Allie's ring.
So Casey's like, Steven, do you want to go talk?
He's like, yeah, okay.
So they go outside and Casey's like, I just want to tell you, I'm not going to give Allie 20%. So now he's like steroid rage eyes. He's like, what?
Yes. That's the thing I've ever heard about telebusinesses.
And she's like, I mean, she can do sales and I want her to get paid for sales and it's new business. It's my business though. And I think we should like go into business first and see how we work together.
So then he just does the like trying to hard sell her.
He's like, oh, well, Allie has over 250,000 followers. Her entire page has been about her skincare journey.
Do you know how hard it is for a gorgeous 20-something-year-old to have decent skin? It is very hard. She looks so young. She looks like she is in her 20s. Everybody looks to Allie for skincare, being in her 20s. And it's like, what better content creator would there be than to have a before and after of her promoting the skincare? She's already got perfect, flawless, probably plastic surgery, smoothed out, lasered skin. There is no before, Steven. What are you talking? The before, I looked up Allie's befores, and she's gorgeous then, and she's gorgeous now. It's a totally different face, but they're both beautiful, but you're not getting some new before from Allie. She's already got perfect skin. So that one's failing. And he's like, this is pure business perspective. And she does nothing but social media. And you need her. And Casey's like, well, but I want help and I want to do something together, but I want to grow the business. But like 20% to Allie, I just don't feel comfortable yet. Oh, really? So you expect her just to come on board and promote your skincare line over another skincare line? Yeah. For money, she'll be getting a percentage of whatever she sells. Give them coupon code, you know, Kala, you know, Kala in a different font.
So, yeah, first of all, it would be like a sort of sister-in-law. So I would expect actually a little bit of like, hey, I'll help you out. But she would be getting paid. I love when Steven says that Allie has a finance degree. He's like, and
furthermore, she has a finance degree.
I'm like, you have a full fucking MBA and your farm is in the shitter. So a finance degree, I'm not taking that too seriously.
Yeah. And she's like, but I want to see what McBee Farms can do for marketing first. And he's like, oh, really? Okay, listen. Would you rather a tiny piece of a giant pie and then have the team that's helping you every step of the way? Or would you rather take it all the stress, all the logistics of trying to figure it out on your own and brand never getting to the point it wants to be? Because we are already behind in orders.
Okay, well, whose fault is that, though? You're going to be taking 40% of this and no one's helping her with anything. You can't just come into something without doing anything and demand all of this. This is crazy to me. And I guess that McBee should get some because it is their dead cows and everything that they're using and their farm and all of that. But this 20% to Allie is cuckoo.
Yeah, the whole thing is absolutely crazy. And he's being really mean to Casey. And he knows he can intimidate her. And it's like shitty that he's trying to pull that card. And then and the fact that he's also like acting as if Allie is the second coming of Barbara Corcoran. It's like, let's relax. Okay. She is someone who is hot and has followers because she's hot and therefore is able to sell things. And so Steven's like,
if Allie's going to teach you the skills that you need to market the thing via social media and push it, there is substantial value there. There is so much more than just a talent business here.
No, I think it's the talent business. So,
and you can't tie your entire company to one influencer. That's also legit crazy. Like, yeah. Oh, wow, Allie Uckland, the face of McBee kidney juice. Like, gross. And it's just, that's not a one influencer thing. And you guys have a TV show that presumably hundreds of thousands of people watch.
20% is such a high percentage. Dumb. Yeah, it's such a high percentage. Like, when you watch shows like Shark Tank, and they're always like, I will give you, you know, like $400,000 for like 5% equity. You know, it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy that he's like, that he's going to try to take 20% for Allie. Like, Allie can maybe get 1%. Maybe. She shouldn't even be getting a percentage at all because she's basically, in my mind, a contractor, you know? But
yeah,
this is just so unreasonable. And he's so mean to her about it. And he basically is like, I think that this is so. Casey's like, well, I just don't want to have another Galena situation like with your dad. And that really gets Steven going. And I was really, I was like, good for you, Casey.
Yeah.
Good for you. Like, the lights turned on at last.
He gets psycho eyes twitching back. You see him like start to twitch. You go into one of his rages, you know.
He's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Now, this is a lot different than my dad and Galena in that by this time next year, Allie may have my last name. So what about that? I'm going to beat my dad. I'm going to beat my dad to the punch as far as my urge goes. What about that? I beat daddy, and I don't want to call you out, but the issue isn't necessarily just the sales. With Allo, we are sitting on orders since early October. We are going to kill the business if we do not stay on top of orders.
Then why aren't you guys helping her with the business? Like, This is crazy. Your company is falling. Your company has failed. They're literally coming with fucking tractors to take your shit out of there because you failed yet again. And you're going to get on her about this instead of offering her help. You're an ass.
But also, like, if the logic is that Allie is going to have the McBee family name, then why does she need to have the 20% if she's going to marry into the 40% anyway? So, man, that may be a reductive way to look at it, but literally, I also don't fucking care. So Casey is like, she's like, I've been saying for the last month that I need help. And I'm saying I want help. I just don't understand. It's like, so you're accepting the help in what way? Do you think you're going to hire me for $15 an hour to build a damn website? So then she goes off and starts crying.
No, I'm sorry. She's not hiring you and offering you minimum wage. You're taking 40% of her company. You're taking 40% of the company. What does McBee Farm do in return for the 40%? That's part of it. Marketing, running a business is marketing, and it is helping with orders. It's not just like finding some girl that meets your physical requirements to give away shit to for doing. Allie hasn't even said anything to her about this.
This is
infuriating.
So then Casey is like, Tegan goes to console her, and she's like, he sits there and talks to me like a fucking child, like the whole time, and I just want to go home. and Steven's like, what, did I say something? And she's like, no. And she's like, okay, well, that's the last fucking conversation about it, understood? And then he's like,
so now he starts screaming at production.
Yeah.
Yeah, I scream in at production telling him, this is the last time we're talking about it, and that is it. That is final. He's like trying to take off his mic, throwing his mic, and then storming off. Oh, what a jackass.
Well, guess what? It's 6 days until Steve Sr. reports to prison, guys. It's just getting so tough. So tough. So Steven's packing. Steven Jr. is packing for Texas.
Should I bring multiple cowboy hats? Yeah, nothing says poser like having a different cowboy hat every single day, you phony. So they drive off, and now it's 4 days until Senior reports to prison. Bloop, bloop. Now we're at Jesse and Allie's city house, and Christy comes over. And she's visiting with Jesse. It's just as charismatic as ever. And she's like, well, have you heard from Steven? On almost Thanksgiving. I sure miss him. It's so hard having not my son here when we're this close to killing a turkey. And he's like, well, I haven't seen him, but he looks pretty like he's having a whole lot of fun on social media.
She's like, really? He's like, yeah. And we see a photo of Steven with some horses that say, real day at the ranch. And then he's in a Santa Claus outfit, which I'm like, hello, did Thanksgiving already happen or did it not happen? And then we see a video of Steven with the whole family, and like the video's like, we told Steven that we always say the Pledge of Allegiance before family dinner. And so they say it, and then they all start laughing. It's like, ha ha, you just got punked. And he's like, that's very funny.
Oh, that was a joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Oh, I was like, oh my gosh.
I rewatched it a few times just to make sure. But you know that Steven was like, this is a great idea. We're going to do this at the new HQ.
I didn't even get that.
Let me tell you something. I will never forget the first time I went to a Cracker Barrel. And I went into the bathroom. And, you know, they're always playing the music in the Cracker Barrel. Like, and then eventually, in between the songs, this guy came on and goes, I pledge allegiance to United States. I pledge allegiance to not, I forget how it goes. I pledge
to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, but liberty and justice for all. And I was like, why is this playing in the middle of the music at the Cracker Barrel? I mean, I know why it's playing, but it just was so random to be like, this is the interstitial in between songs.
Yeah, that's their DJ. Every once in a while, they're like, oh, we just wanted to come on here and remind you while you've got your penis in your hand and you're waiting for your chicken and dumplings, you are in the greatest country in the world.
It's like
the United States of America.
It was so excessive.
Do not forget to get your Danielle Steele book on tape, which you can rent and return to another Cracker Barrel on your way home.
Before you buy that fudge on the way out of the store, just remember that's American fudge.
Made in America. So, yeah. And the Instagram stories or whatever they're posting, they're, I think this is the point where they're all Allie being like, oh my God, when your boyfriend is like running with horses. Oh my God, this one. When your boyfriend is dressed like Santa Claus at your ranch. When your boyfriend is saying the Pledge of Allegiance before dinner.
POV, your boyfriend just walked in the door and he's about to ask you about marriage, but I'm like, too much, right?
So now Jesse and Christy are back to talking about how Dad wants to have a meeting. They have no idea what this company-wide meeting's going to be. And of course, it's when Steven's not even in town for the company-wide meeting, as the family is going to shit and the dad is leaving and has to announce the new successor. So Steven's just not even there. The yeah. one who just lectured Delina about not being serious enough doesn't even show up to the fucking company-wide. I can't.
Yeah, he's missing the entire company-wide meeting. And Christy is like, I don't know why, for some reason, they decided to have me be here at this meeting. I don't understand at all. So they're all gathering for this Zoom session. And I love Cole saying...
No, it's a full meeting, right?
Well, no, it's a full meeting, but people are doing a Zoom. People are Zooming in because some are remote. Like Steven and Christy and others. And I just love Cole being like, we're finally all meeting at the car wash today with everybody. Guys, get ready. The big car. This is definitely not Succession. I think they're trying to make it seem like Succession. I'm like, they are not gathering at the car wash on Succession.
Piano music tinkling in the back. It's like, dee, 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 dee.
Yeah.
Just seriously. To interrupt the Succession theme song, I wanted to remind you, you are in America. This is American car wash.
Well, we turned one of these coffins into a table, so everyone just gather around here. So it is coffin and car wash? Yeah.
3 days until Steve Sr. reports to prison. Bloop, bloop, bloop. So we go to McBee Farm and Cattle Stakeholder Meeting. And Cole's like,
wow, we're finally all meeting at the car wash today. Galena's taking off all the locks on the doors. We're allowed back in the building. That's pretty fun.
Before we start, does anyone want an ice cream Snickers bar? We've got a whole cooler downstairs. Does anyone want any air fresheners before we start this meeting? Okay. It's on the house.
So then we get Steven Jr., who's joining via Zoom. He's like, hey, it's me, Steven Sr. I just want to go over a couple of quick org charts. What I don't want to do is leave and have any questions on who's in charge. This is how the hierarchy goes.
God, why am I here? I'm just Christy. God, you know, it's crazy. Like, I could be doing something else right now. Like, I don't know, spending the next 2 hours filling up my Stanley cup. It takes a very long time. I guess it's important.
I was about to figure out how to get that Jesus on top of the tree and then this.
So the producer's like, who do you think is a logical choice for your dad to lead?
Well, obviously it's me. Sorry, boys. But I'm the one who's here. I got an MBA. I got a girlfriend who's got a finance degree. And I got a cowboy hat for every day of the week when I'm in Texas.
Does anyone else have a girlfriend with 250,000 followers?
So then Braden's like, yeah, hi, I'm Braden. I'm here. I'm the fourth. Remember when they said Jake's the fifth McBee? I'm the fourth one, if you're wondering.
Hey, it's me, Cole with the wig. Cole with the perm. I'm a wig. It's the perm.
It's so, perm Cole.
Perm Cole.
He's like, wow, this is going to get tense.
Hey, everyone.
Okay, well, you know what? Flip the slideshow over and let's look at the org chart.
And so we see this big chart on the screen and it says Steve McBee Sr., President, Steve Jr., CEO, Galena, CFO, Cole, cattle manager, Jesse, one day will learn to open a tractor door, and Christy McBee, interim president.
Dun, dun, dun.
Braden's like, I'm not even on the chart. Braden's like, what Poor the heck? Braden. Steve Sr.'s like, well, you can't be on the chart until you get rid of that Julia Child hair. It's like, oh, Dad.
What are you, an extra in physical? Come on. Get with it, boy. So Christy's like, well, Steve McBee does a lot of crazy things, but this making me interim president of the whole company, whatever will I do?
Well, I mean, obviously, this to me felt very much like a made-for-TV moment, but I also felt like it was a smart move because she actually is running a successful business. And actually, like, I think it's painful that we don't get to see her being a badass and having, like, a hugely successful company. We just see her kind of just, like, arriving at houses with her drink and being like, boys will be boys. I'm like, I know that Christy actually has more substance than they show, and I think they do her a disservice. And so I was kind of like, well, you know what? Actually, Christy, like, it doesn't make any sense. And this is like a big fuck you to the Suns. But also, Steven Jr., you didn't go to Thanksgiving, the last Thanksgiving with your dad. I mean, he could get shanked in prison. This may be the last time you ever see him. And you're down in Texas with the flavor of the month. So, yeah, I fully supported this passive aggressive move.
One thing that I'm surprised that Christy doesn't say is that he's completely fucking her over. I mean, this is a company that is in major trouble. It's got huge, you know, they've got a lot of investigations. They've got all of this shit going on. And then he's getting Little Miss Chris Perfect Christy, and he's going to tangle her in all of this shit. And I think that that is absolutely shitty. And she seems pissed about it. And I think that's why she's pissed. She's like, I don't want to be entangled with your company. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You want me to go to jail too? And so.
Which just goes to show that all these guys, all these McBee guys are just like in a giant, you know, like circle jerk together. They have no idea what they're doing. I don't think, can you even just like name someone president who didn't put their, like, who didn't agree to it? You can't just like force someone to be president of a company. Like, it's just all, it's so silly.
That's true.
You know? And so, I was like, I kind of like the idea of her running it because I think she would actually fix it. But also like, what? This doesn't make any sense. Like, there makes zero sense whatsoever. So unless, of course, God forbid I say it, it was something completely fake and fabricated for TV. That would never happen on the McBee dynasty.
Yeah, that was probably it too. But he also wanted somebody with clean hands, to come in here because a lot going down. So Steven is, of course, enraged. He's like, I cannot believe what this org chart says. Did Casey make this? This is bullshit. I am mind blown, taken aback, and shocked. All three. Equally,
I am furious. Meanwhile, Steven's like taking this meeting and like the bench outside of a gas station. It's like not unlike where they had the season finale meal on Real Housewives of Potomac. She's just out there. So it's like, yeah, it seems like you're really taking this seriously. So he is furious.
So all the boys take their turns being shocked.
I'm real shocked that Mama's up there. I mean, I don't know. What is Mama doing up there?
My dad never ceases to amaze me how much chaos he can create. Now you just wait, because this next 5 minutes of TV is going to be full of the word chaos. We're all going to use it 20,000 times. Chaos, chaos, chaos. That's you, Daddy. You, Daddy.
Chaos. 2 days until Steve Sr. reports to prison.
Bloop.
Yeah.
Bloop.
So. They're in the office. It's also the last few days of HQ, guys. It's the end of HQ. So Steven's saying how it's colder here than it is in Texas. So, wow. His power of observation is unparalleled. That the place that's more north than Texas is a little bit colder. Cole is like, yeah, best it's nice down there. It's freezing up here, ain't it? He's like, yeah. And so he tells us,
my last conversation with Casey did not go as planned. My passion was mistaken for aggressiveness.
Oh, your passion.
Oh, it's just passion. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so when you threw that microphone off of your back and threw it onto the ground, that was just passion. Passion for tallow. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yelled at Casey, then yelled at production. Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's just, must have been our
mistake. Easy mistake. I thought it was aggression, but it was just passion, you know.
I took it all back. Steven's pissed. He's like, what in the world is Mom being, what is Mom the head of every single company for? Just when I thought we had a good plan moving forward with my dad going away, Captain Chaos, yet again, comes in to stir the pot chaotically like a chaos. You know, throw a rock at the hornet's nest, get every hornet all chaosed. That's what he did. Chaos. And I was just saying, why is Mama at the top of this? She's got her own business. She's got other things to do. So they call Mom in. Christy has to come. And she just looks like, oh, Jesus. What? Why? Why am I being dragged? She comes in and she's like,
yeah.
Oh, boys. Mama, you sit down. We're just talking.
I am confused. Why are you the head of this business? What did you ever do to get this business?
Whoa, there's that passion again.
That passion. Basically what he's saying is,
this is my toy. This is my toy. It's not your toy. Why do you have my toy? That's not fair. It should be my toy. Give me my toy. Give me my toy. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry. Give me my toy. Give me my toy.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And he's like, no offense. And she's like, yeah, but I do have my own business, honey.
Here's one thing I will say for you positively, Mom. You may not know what the fuck you're doing as far as our businesses go. I don't know why you got it, but you have this going for you. You are 5'8" and you are blonde. Thumbs up.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. You were talking to my Stanley Cup. I put a little wig on it. I'm actually only 5'6".
Well, I have no idea why this is going on, boys. I mean, I don't have nothing to do with the businesses. I mean, I just don't know. I can give you advice, but you know your daddy. Chaos. That's what I've been saying. Say it again. I love that word. Chaos. Your daddy's chaos.
Captain Chaos. Give me my toy back.
So she's basically like, I don't want anything to do with this. So I shouldn't have been on that slide. Like, it's not mine. Okay, I'm going to support you. I'm going to support you because boys will be boys. But that's it. That's it. This is for you guys.
I'm only doing this because I'm hashtag boy mom.
So he calms down a little after he hears that his mom doesn't even want the company. Because I think at first he's like, what did she do to get this company? But she's like, I don't even want it. So it calms him down a little bit. And then we go to Cole feeding the cows, and Blair's on his lap in the tractor. Seems unsafe. And then we go to Stephen's house, and they're sitting on the couch.
Stephen and Allie.
This is the other Allie. Yeah, I was like, why is he with Allie? But he's with...
It's so annoying that there's two Allies on this show. Like, it's... Just know that Stephen's Allie has an E, and Jesse's Allie has no E. So... No. No?
I'm not going to input that into my brain. I don't care.
Well, the extra E stands...
This show is doing enough to me without getting multiple Allie spellings in my head. No.
Well, the extra E stands for enterprising, or maybe I should say entrepreneur. So
E for chaos.
So Stephen goes,
So, Allie, have you talked to your parents anymore since we've been back? Did you explain to them that I'm just a man full of passion and not aggression, just passion?
And she's like, yeah.
She's like, because I feel bad because I feel like I didn't have a whole lot of time to spend directly with your family. And I think I was a little stressed out, too, obviously knowing everything that was on the back at home. And I think I did struggle with being fully present. When my dad was going away, and I know there were times I seemed overwhelmed whenever you were down there. I guess maybe I had some passion.
I'm like, okay, what really happened? By the way, you can't give the excuse of, oh, sorry, I was a dick to you down and to your whole family down there because I was distracted by my dad going away. Because you should have been up there in Kansas City the entire time, you dipshit.
You purposely went away while your father was going away. Yeah, Stephen went there and made an ass out of himself somehow, because this is one of Stephen's like,
well, I know that last night didn't go as planned, but it's just my passion.
It's the same thing. So he did something at this place, like had a fit or gotten an argument with the dad.
Or sold or locked himself in the room.
Something really, really bad, because Allie's face is like, yeah, well, I mean, prior to going, they knew we were moving fast. And like, I was like, they're going to see how close we are. You know, they're going to see it. But yeah, it didn't really happen. But, I don't know.
It's like, well, she's like, my family sees it. Look at my family. They see it.
She's like, looks terrified of saying anything otherwise to you.
Yeah. Because she's like, her whole thing is that she really wants her family's approval. And she was like, I mean, I just thought like, you know, I knew that we were going fast. And like, I also thought like our connection was just like so insane and they're going to see it immediately. And then it just was crickets, which was when I had to admit to Steven, I'm actually a cricket and I've been transformed into a woman for 2 months. But then I go back to my cricket life and I have to find a husband before I become a cricket again. Otherwise, I'll never find love again. And it's very important that my family accepts him. Otherwise, I will be a lonely cricket the rest of my life.
Yeah, so the family was not into him. No. And so she's like, you don't have my family's approval. Now what? She's like, well, I was going to ask you to marry me. I was going to ask your dad for your hand. She's like, yeah, I don't think he would have liked that. She's like, you know, I mean, you and I aren't going anywhere. And I know how that sounds, and I really do mean it that way. But what I mean is we don't have to get married right away. There's no rush, you know? I'm still going to be 5'8" and blonde tomorrow.
Yeah, but will you still want to do memberships with me in the afternoon and send our children to a private school of our choosing?
What if somebody beats me down the aisle?
So he's like, you know, I mean, I'm not like my brothers who are going to sit on their hands and ponder a decision for 8 or 10 years. I need 5 minutes to know you are blonde enough to marry. Let's do it. And she's like, oh, yeah. Ooh. Bloop, bloop. Steve Sr. reports to prison.
One day.
So finally, we get to see this fucking
No, Ronnie.
No?
That would be way too merciful for this show to actually move the story along. Instead, it's the day before, and everyone's got to go to HQ for the grand finale of HQ. The last day, the series finale of HQ. So now we're at HQ, and now we've got to give a sad moment to say goodbye to HQ. And Steven's taking down a sign that says Country Kitchen, because they had a nice little kitchen in there, because they would have all the employees come in and they'd eat their meals. They'd have like sort of family meals in there, which is nice, I guess. And Tessa's like, our neighbor.
Thank God this sign doesn't say City Kitchen. That would be horrifying.
I'll never forget when your daddy told me, he said, Tessa, I'm going to build you the best kitchen money can buy.
I'm like, was this the best kitchen money can buy? So then Steven's like,
I had envisioned years and years of great meetings, fun dinners, Tessa cooking, hell, even one day passing this HQ. These farms down to my kids. Kids, congratulations, you got an HQ.
So then we see like test like
I'll
memories.
I'll never forget the first time I ate beans in this country kitchen, and I said, wow, these beans smell like gas.
Well, I was cooking right off after I got off work. Have you done mine, honey?
Well, I have so many memories. Watching Tessa boil some frozen succotash in that pot. Boil some frozen mac and cheese in that pot. Boil some frozen chicken in that pot. We'll never have it the same.
So now Jake gets into a tractor, very manly, and Steven and Jake are on the front part of the tractor, and Cole's driving, and wait, did Tessa already give her speech, or is this later? I love Tessa's little speech. Let's just go back to Tessa's speech, because that's all I care about.
Because basically all that happens is they take down a sign. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we see them take down the sign. Yeah, that's true.
They take down the sign.
They get in the tractor and have to figure out how to work the tractor and then take down the McBee farm sign.
Yeah, that's what a shame. What a shame. By the way, oddly enough, I think Jake is the hottest of all these guys. I think most people say Steven or Jesse, but I think Jake is the hottest now. I think it actually goes,
yeah, Jake's Jake, the hottest, Braden. And let me tell you why, because we don't know anything about him, and he never speaks. And that is how a Bravo man stays on top.
I do like how every single one of them looks like a hand puppet from, like, the Senior Wences hand puppet.
I also think Jake's probably the best, because his partner seems the least traumatized.
Tegan seems the most normal.
Just easygoing and fine, you know, she doesn't seem like she's upset.
She's the only woman on the show who's not afraid to talk, because whenever the guys are around, they're always like, can I speak now? But like Tegan just like, hey girl, what's going on? So I'm like, okay, so they probably have a healthy relationship. Oh, that does sound fucked up. It sounds like I shouldn't like Casey because she's in a situation with like guys who are like toxic, but it's more just like, we're able to see Tegan's personality as a result better.
Well, we're not dissing Casey. It's the men.
It's the men. The men are just dipshits. I was just finding a way to take another pot shot at the guys, but it sort of sounded like it actually sounded a little fucked up the way I said it. So I'm unfucking it up. No. I'm just saying Tegan and Jake are the best of this group so far. And you're right. It's because we know little about them.
Yeah. Well, especially the guys. Because, you know, I loved Jesse until a couple weeks ago, and now he's like so dead soon.
Yeah. You know? All right. Tessa's monologue.
This works.
Tessa. Take it away. Take it away.
Crying.
She's like, how's your daddy doing? You make me so proud, boys. Going down memory lane. Oh, I'm trying not to cry. Now I remember this. Your daddy said, I want to give my boys a legacy. And after every single part of this business has failed, I've said, well, you're doing great, boss man. And as this one is taken down, I'm so proud of you, boys. I'm so proud of you.
What are you proud of? They fucked up every single thing that has been touched. Tessa.
They're disasters. They're full disasters. Well, guess what? Now it's time to go to South Dakota because the day has come. It's the day that we've all been really totally apathetic about. It is Stephen McBee Sr. is going off to jail. So everyone, the guy who you don't ever get to see on a show that's about him is about to go somewhere else where we won't see him. So they've rented this like a camper to drive Steve Sr. up to jail. And they're like, we want to squeeze out every last minute with this guy. So they won't even show him on the camper. So he's like off camera on the camper, but we just sort of see them. And here's what's also fucked up. This is actually arguably the most emotional, you know, scene of the season. And this is an impactful moment. And it's all kind of just like edited in this like slapdash way. There's like, we don't see moments. We don't have like conversations here. It's just sort of montage-y and weird. It's just another garbage scene on a garbage show.
They show everybody crying.
Sorry. I got a little angry there.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the camper scene didn't, you know.
It's like this should have actually been an emotional moment. Like this should have been like a moment of like tears. Like we see, they're reflecting to us about how they feel. And we see shots of them like crying. The guys are crying on there. But like they don't actually let us access the emotion of this scene. And I just think it's just like whoever's making this show is just failing left and right to me.
It's the people who make Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I found out.
Oh, wow.
Looked it up. Well, isn't that crazy?
Okay.
They make a lot of shows, actually. Jeff Jenkins Productions.
Oh, okay. Old Bina Murray co-workers, I guess you could say.
Yeah. They make a lot of, you know, really popular reality shows. So it's not
they
like
do.
This is just made by, you know, some losers. It's well, just they have a lot of losers on it. Also, it's hard to get the emotions on the show because it's a, like you said, it's about a lead character who refuses to be on camera after the first season. Because on the first, and I'm not sure why, so I shouldn't say because, but on the first season, we really saw what a horrible human being this man is. I mean, his kids, you know, especially, you know, the things we see from Steven and his temper and the way he treats women. Like these guys are all, you know, just apples from that tree. And that tree is rotten. He is horrible. And how he treated Galena and his other girlfriend that season, who was the one, did you see the episode where Galena went to make it right with her? She's like, hello, I'm here to make it right with you. She's like, Galena, you hurt me. You hurt me as a woman and as a person. Okay, well, I'm here to make it right. You killed me. Deep in my soul. Anyway, that lady he treated like, just to see, you don't have these clips of showing him as this nice, loving person that could make you feel something, right? Like, wow, remember what a great guy Steven was? No, he's a piece of shit. And now he's going to prison and might have indicted, you know, might have gotten his kids in trouble as well. As everything he bragged to, all as he shattered all of their dreams that he told them about when they were little kids. Like, look at what I'm building for you. Look at what I'm doing for you. He's a jackass and a crook. And there's no clips to show. So what are you supposed to get?
But also, like, they have him on a bus. I know that he doesn't want to be on the show, but like he's been on the show in the past. In the past two or three, last season and this season, he's popped up here and there. So we have an entire, episode six or so. We're this far into the season. Everything has been about this guy going to jail. This entire episode is 9 days, 7 days, 6 days. But now it is the moment. And all that we get on this like drop off moment is basically the guy saying how hard this is going to be for them. And then we see Steve Sr. We don't even see him. We just hear him say, Casey, you good? She's the rock here. She goes, I'm ready to get rid of you. He goes, that's why I love you. And then he gets out and we just see him walk into the jail. I was like, you did all of this and we don't even get like a payoff? Are you kidding me? Like, I just want to see
the payoff though?
The payoff is the family, like whatever they're going through on that bus. Like they're not like the conversation, like a conversation they're having or whatever. They literally just give like three lines of dialogue and then it's it. I was like, oh, the whole episode is like the countdown and it's like, okay, bye. I was like, what? It's crazy. Yeah.
dad walking into the jail. So he goes to prison. Everyone's crying. And then we get a Steve Sr. voiceover. And he's like, being a father is probably the most rewarding experience. It's my job to make sure I protect him. Doing a great job so far.
I just want to prevent him from making the same mistakes. And I just want my kids to have more than I had. And if you guys want kids to have more than you have, it starts with when you're giving them too much. You guys better bust their ass and make them earn it just like I did you guys.
So then Steven Jr. is like,
I don't want to say that it's broken our spirit, but we're damn close to being there. All I know is I'm going to be here for my family. And by be here for my family, I'm going back down to Texas to make things right with a different family. And we're going to make it through this.
I'm going to go down to Texas and slash the tires of Allie's daddy.
You are the most pessimistic person. I'm going to jail, father. We're stronger than ever moving forward. And I'll be damned if that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder what's going to bring down the farm next week.
This is the worst thing that has ever happened to this farm. This could mean destruction of the farm.
We ran out of soap at the car wash. Everything's done. It's over.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, that they sure did it.
I thought it was going to be the whole season waiting to watch him go off to jail. So I'm actually quite happy that he's in jail. For all my complaining, like I was merciful. I was happy that it was not drawn out. But I just thought it was like just strange storytelling to just have it also be so swept under the rug that it just goes off to jail. But I'm looking forward to actually how this show will now hopefully evolve now that the dad isn't around. Maybe they can shift the focus to something else. Cause man, it's been so somber.
It's not going to be like that. They're going to be like, now it's 180 days until Steve Sr. comes out of prison.
Will Blair even know who he is?
Blair. Yeah. Know. Blair's never even going to learn numbers or anything. All of her flashcards are going to be like,
Steven Sr. Steven Sr. again.
There's your grandpa.
Steven Sr. again.
Grandpappy. Grandpappy Steven Sr.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here today. This was a fun one. Go check out all of our other recaps. We also just started Real Housewives of London. We'll be back tomorrow with some Valley and Next Gen NYC. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay. It's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last naming.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess. It's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.